This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, April 7th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana. First, a look at today's news. The Reverend Scott Willis lost six of his children in 1994 when a mudflat bracket fell off a truck driven by an illegally licensed driver and ruptured the gas tank of his van. Now Willis serves on the Illinois Reform Commission formed by Governor Pat Quinn to come up with proposals to curb corruption in state government. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more on the commission's meeting at the University of Illinois.
When asked about the political factors underlying his personal tragedy, the Reverend Willis pauses for several seconds. Finally, he says it comes down to money and the willingness of some in state government to hand out favors such as an undeserved truck driver's license for campaign contributions. Illinois state employees now take annual ethics training, but not until they've been on the job 6 months. Willis says by then it's often too late.
Well, by that time, the ethics test doesn't really mean anything because they've already learned the ropes of how things have been going on before. And money's a big part of that, fundraising within the different departments and so on. So if there's any thing, it's the love of money. I'm a preacher. It's the love of money and the need of money to be able to get power.
The first round of recommendations from the Illinois Reform Commission calls for training state workers on ethics in their first month of employment instead of the sixth. Willis commented at the University of Illinois Urbana campus, where he and two other Reform Commission members took part in a town hall meeting. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Meanwhile, Governor Pat Quinn has canceled his predecessor's sweeping ban on campaign contributions from companies doing business with the state. The executive order Quinn signed keeps intact ethics reform the legislature approved last year, banning constitutional officers from engaging in pay-to-play politics. The move blocks ex-Governor Rod Blagojevich's order last fall that included state legislators in the ban. Blagojevich claimed the measure was more comprehensive ethics reform, but lawmakers have little say over state contracts. Blagojevich was later removed from office and indicted last week on charges he squeezed political donations and favors from state contractors, among other allegations. Quinn signed the new executive order Friday. His office did not return a call seeking comment yesterday. While acknowledging Illinois has gone through a difficult period in state politics, former Governor Jim Edgar says there's reason to be hopeful about the state's future. Speaking at Millikan University in Decatur last night, Edgar urged residents across the state to find the silver lining in recent events. He pointed out that meaningful change does not occur in good times. Edgar said that he couldn't imagine tackling the deficit facing Governor Pat Quinn, which is estimated as high as $11.5 billion. He said the $1 billion deficit he inherited in 1991 was child's play in comparison. Edgar says it will be necessary to both raise taxes and cut state expenditures, actions that will be unpopular among voters. However, he said the burden of improving conditions in the state falls on everyone's shoulders. Voters in Illinois choose local government officials today, from city and township offices to park district and school boards. Mayors, village presidents, and council seats are up for election in Urbana, Rantoul, and several other Champaign County communities, as well as in Monticello, Decatur, Charleston, Bloomington, and Normal. Champaign, Danville, and Mattoon also are holding council elections. Seven people are running for three seats on the Champaign Unit 4 School Board, and voters in Champaign County are being asked to vote on a 1 cent sales tax increase to help school district fund construction projects and pay off bonds. The Urbana Park District is among local governments seeking property tax increases. Polls are open in Cell 7 tonight. You can hear election results as they come in on AM 580 and at will.illinois.edu. Well, negotiations go on over the fate of the Futuregen coal power plant in Mattoon. An ethanol plant to the west is embarking on a similar experiment in reducing emissions. Like Futuregen, the carbon dioxide from the ADM ethanol plant in Decatur is expected to be pumped deep into the ground. There it would be stored long term. The ADM project will study just how practical it is to store the excess CO2 rather than send it into the atmosphere, and how well the rock formations a mile below the surface will hold the gas. Robert Finley directs the Illinois State Geological Survey, which is also taking part in the project. He says the first well being dug is a test well.
While we're doing that, we will be moving toward the construction of the injection facility. And if we can determine in that time period that the reservoir and the shale seal will behave as we expect it to, then roughly about this time next year, or maybe a little earlier, hopefully around February or March of 2010, we will actually begin injection.
After 7 years, Finley says they'll have enough data from the carbon dioxide sequestration to determine if it can happen on a bigger scale. FutureGen is expected to use the same kind of technology if it's built, as well as other technologies to burn coal with as little pollution as possible. State documents show that under a proposed agreement, the Illinois Finance Authority would have retained 95% interest in a company to set up to lease Wrigley Field to a new Cubs owner until 2039. The same proposal would have Tribune Company receiving as much as $45 million and a 5% stake in a leased Wrigley Field. The deal would involve a state loan of $300 million towards restoring the historic ballpark. A November 19th memo released last night by the Illinois Finance Authority outlines the complicated deal in which a new owner of the stadium's tenant, the Chicago Cubs, would pay $25 million a year for 30 years. IFA Chairman William Brandt says the authority was nowhere near such a deal, however. A spokesman for Tribune did not immediately return messages seeking comment. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Tax Day, April 15th, is just a few days away, a time to be thankful that you didn't win a wager sweepstakes prize like a European adventure or a house this year. Commentator Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
I realized fairly early on that I hadn't won the 2009 HGTV Dream Home Sweepstakes. By the time of the grand announcement in mid-March, I'd already given up hope, assuming that by then they'd at least have sent me a friendly email suggesting that I get out of my jammies because someone would be knocking on my door in short order, camera in hand. For those who haven't dreamed that the Dream Home host would come knocking, here's background. We entrants hope to win a beautiful, fully furnished house located in Sonoma, California, and valued at around $2 million. The key word is hoped. But my melancholy lifts whenever I think of this line, courtesy of the Internal Revenue Code. Gross income includes amounts received as prizes, or an even clearer message in the federal regulations, prizes which are includable in gross income include amounts received from radio and television giveaway shows, door prizes, and awards and contests of all types. In other words, that $2 million prize package means that the winner's income for the year grows to $2 million plus whatever regular income they started with, even though the prize itself isn't cash. And particularly relevant at this time of year, one must pay taxes on one's income. We have a radio show and its prize of $900 to thank for the IRS rule on prizes, or that's the thought at least. Back in 1945, Pauline Washburn was minding her own business when someone called to tell her that she'd won the pot of gold. Imagine her surprise when, sure enough, a check arrived by messenger within a half an hour. Mrs. Washburn didn't want to pay income tax on that money, so she argued that the $900 was a gift, and the tax court back then agreed, finding that the money had no earmarks of income. So Congress stepped in to make the law a little clearer, as in the unmistakable, gross income includes amounts received as prizes. 20 years later, when a taxpayer asked if the brand new TV he'd had to pay a tiny amount for would be considered part of his annual income for the year, you can bet that the answer was yes. So now, more than 50 years after the pot of gold, when reality TV Survivor winner Richard Hatch tried to get around paying income taxes on his $1 million prize, Uncle Sam convicted him and sentenced him for filing false tax returns. Prison was part of his punishment, as was, of course, paying past due income tax plus penalties. But back to Sonoma. Turns out that a retired couple from Florida won the Dream Home this year. At first, they seemed beside themselves with delight. And then as the host sat down in front of the computer to show them virtually their $2 million prize, they seemed a little more subdued. "We're going to have to get financial advice," the man later told one of the Sonoma area newspapers. "They might want to talk with past year's Dream Home winners." According to that newspaper, many, if not all, had to sell the houses that they'd won. The income tax bill on one house alone was an excruciating $675,000, money due to the IRS because the winner's annual income had increased by millions the year he won. It's almost enough to make you want to enter contests more discriminately, lest you be forced to sell the prize you had your heart set on, and maybe even to celebrate that the dream home host didn't end up in Illinois this year. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Today in our forecast, intervals of clouds and sunshine, windy and cold, the high 42 degrees. We'll have northwest winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. Clearing and frosty tonight, the low 28. Mostly sunny, milder tomorrow, the high 55. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, the low 33. Increasing clouds on Thursday with a high of 58. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, April 7th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.